I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you.
We call you
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You're the Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart.
I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you, I worship you.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
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 Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You're the Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You're the Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Waymaker,
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
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 Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker. Waymaker, miracle worker.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker,
waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker, waymaker, miracle worker.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. And even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop 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 working. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is
worker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
You're the way maker,
way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
That pretty much says, that pretty much says it all. You know, God started a family thousands of years ago. He instituted and started a family, a husband and a wife. And from there he stemmed and brought civilization and humanity into existence. It took a mom and it took a dad to procreate, to make mankind and humanity. Yesterday I was cruising Facebook and social media, and I ran across the post from a lady that a lot of us know that used to attend this church, Sister Karen Hatton, and it made me cry. I'm sitting on a couch, and this will resonate in your heart and your soul about a mom's love for her kids. She said in her post, "Every year my children ask me the same question. After thinking about it, I decided to give them the answer. What do you want for Mother's Day, Mom? I want you. I want you to keep coming around. I want you to bring your kids around. I want you to ask me questions, ask my advice, tell me your problems. Ask for my opinion, ask for my help. I want you to come over and rant about your problems, rant about life, whatever.
Yeah.
Tell me about your job, your worries, your kids, your fur babies." That tickled me. "I want you to continue sharing your life with me, most of all. Come over and laugh with me. Laugh at me." Christy can relate to that, and so can Autumn. "I don't care. Hearing you laugh is music to me." "I spent the better part of my life raising you the best way I knew how. Now give me the time to sit back and admire my work. Raid my refrigerator, help yourself. I really don't mind. In fact, I wouldn't want it any other way. I want you to spend your money making a better life for you and your family. I have the things I need. I want you to be happy and healthy. When you ask me what I want for Mother's Day, I say nothing, because you're already been giving me my gift all year. I want you." Moms, I don't know how a lady could have said it better. As a dad and a mom, parents love their kids. Not always in the way that the kids thought they should be loved. My mom loved me with a loving word, a tender hand, and a wooden spoon. A couple times. But moms, we love you. This church loves you. Our pastor and his wife love you. Moms are a special thing. Don't forget about them.
I'll take a second to dry our eyes. Oh, that's good. You may be seated if you'd like.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God.
just wanna be with you.
Supernatural powers that we don't know about. I think God gives women a special place in the world. By the way, he made Mother's Day come before Father's Day, so you better behave because you only got one more month than Father's Day's here.
greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive. The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. Never be the same. Forever I am changed. When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Endless joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Shall it rain? Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Oh, happy day, happy day. You washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am changed. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious way.
God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Our children's ministry department has a special presentation they would like to present. We're going to ask them to come at this time and just give us a few moments as we clear the platform and make way for them to come.
can someday be. But all that I know of faith and of kindness and love and strength, I've learned just by watching you every day. So when you sing by my side, hear my stories at night, and teach me to trust in God's love. You give me a hug, maybe two, and you say I love you, and I think you're doing enough. Someday I'll have a home, a family, and I'll love them just as much as you love me.
Then maybe you'll finally see you have given enough for me, a gift that will last through eternity.
That was awesome. Wow. I mean, I knew we had some vocal talent in the church, but man, that was impressive. Good job. Why don't we give him another round of applause? That was just incredible. We do want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers, and when we say that, we want to recognize even those that may not be a biological mother but are playing a mother role, a stepmother, foster mother, whatever mother role you are playing, we want to acknowledge that and celebrate that this morning. And from the bottom of our hearts, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to you. I have just a few comments before we present all of our mothers with just a small token of appreciation on Mother's Day. So if you would indulge me for just a few moments, I want to talk about the love of a mother. So if you would stand to your feet, I want to draw your attention to one passage of Scripture. I want to say thank you, Sister Connie Atkins, for mothering the children of this church. All of you that have a hand in teaching our children, whether it be Sunday school class, whether it be Sunday night sessions, whatever it is, we want you to know that we appreciate that. And we don't say it enough how grateful and appreciative we are of your time and your effort and your resources that you expend to teach our children the things of God. And we thank you for that. And I think collectively we should applaud that and say thank you from the bottom of our hearts. First Kings chapter number 3. When I begin to read to the story, you may think it quite peculiar to be read prior to speaking on the love of a mother, but I hope that you'll indulge me here for just a few moments. First Kings chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 16. Then came there two women. They were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. The one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. It came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. When I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. And when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, One says, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is dead, and my son is the living. It's your word against hers. She's saying that that's her son that is living, and that it's your son that is dead, and you're saying that, no, that's your son that is living, and it's her son that is dead. It's hearsay. King said, Man, I remember as a kid reading this story and being like, what? What kind of king is this? And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two. Kill the child. Divide the child in two and give half to one and half to the other. You say it's yours, you say it's yours. There was only one living child left. The other's dead. It's your word against her word. Bring me a sword. I'm going to cut this child in two. I'm going to give you half and give her half. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, Oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, No, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. All throughout this passage, they are referred to as harlots or women. But at this point, the king says, Give it to her. She's the mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. For just a few moments, I won't be long, I want to talk to you about this subject, the love of a mother. The love of a mother. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to celebrate this special day. God, we thank you for all the mothers that are in attendance here this morning. And I pray, God, that as we read this word, God, as we look therein, it will resonate not only in heart and lives of mothers, but in us all, God, that we would see throughout this story and the scriptures therein, the love of a mother displayed. We love you. We praise you. We honor you and thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray, and everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. The love of a mother. In the verses prior to our text, God has appeared unto Solomon in a dream and asked Solomon what should be given to him as the new king of Israel. This is Solomon's prayer. It's found in verse number 9 of 1 Kings chapter 3. And he says, Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Solomon asks for an understanding heart to judge the people. He wants to be able to discern between good and evil. He wants to know what judgments to make. At that point in time, as a king, there were cases brought before them, and they were to make judgment in reference to those cases, not only from a diplomatic standpoint or from a political standpoint, but also in civil cases or in other cases. They were asked to stand as the judge. And so Solomon, in his request unto God, requests that he be given an understanding heart in order to judge the people. 1 Kings chapter 3, 11 and 12 gives us the reply of God unto Solomon based upon this request. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked for riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. You are going to be the wisest of the wise. You are going to be able to discern and judge like no one else. You will be given an understanding heart, and you will be able to discern. Solomon is given a wise and understanding heart, and as best we can tell from the scripture, this that we read earlier in our text is the very first case that he hears. We don't know why it is. We don't know what transpired, if you will, in the sense of any time between this request of God and the granting of the wish or the prayer. And then Solomon now is sitting in court, if you will, and it is brought unto him the case involving two harlots. Two women who are in a quote-unquote custody battle, if you will. Now, please understand where I'm coming from. I want to make something abundantly clear. This is not a diplomatic case. This is not a case of what we would consider kingdom and importance, if you will. This is not something that's even, for the most part, even on the radar of other people other than these two women. It's a case of custody over a living child, because both of them have recently given birth, and one child has died and the other is living. And it seems as though this case is not significant in much at all. How much importance or relevance does it really have? Please, I understand, I'm not being demeaning, but it's just two harlots fighting over a child. It's just two women who have word against each other. One saying that it's the child that's living is their child. The other saying, no, it's my child. It's just a simple case, if you will. On the surface, not too many people would have placed much stock in the outcome. It really wouldn't have defined, if you will, for the most part, the wisdom of a king. Really, what's the big deal? Please understand where I'm coming from. I mean, one of them's probably going to get the child and the other isn't. But they're just two harlots. Who really cares? Stay with me. It's not that big of a deal. It's not that big of a case. Well, why even bring it out in Scripture? Certainly there's much more involved cases, and there's much more of kingdom importance that could be handled at this time. Judge quickly and move on. Give one of them the child and then go about your day. Certainly there's more important cases that will come before you than this one. It's just two women fighting over a child. And it was, in the case of evidence, it was just one woman's word against the other. By their own admission, they were the only two in the house. Read it. They specifically state, there was no stranger in the house. There were no witnesses. Nobody can identify that this is my child and that's her child, or vice versa. Nobody knows the better. It's my word against her word and her word against mine. Matter of fact, best we can tell, it seems as though one must have aided the other in delivery of the child. That they both shared in the responsibility of helping the other deliver the child. Because the Bible says there's nobody else there. It was just them two in the house. Now please understand, I'm not being crude, but delivery was only 3 days apart. We don't know. The father could have been the same. Could have been the same occurrence. I'm not being demeaning, but understand their occupation. Harlots.
They made money by offering themselves. And they both conceived at approximately the same time. Delivery is only 3 days apart. Mothers will tell you, you can conceive on the, two mothers conceive on the exact same day and delivery be days, sometimes weeks apart. It's just two women fighting over this child. Delivery, and understand, in that day, they don't have DNA tests available. They can say, hey, wait, let's take some blood and go look under the microscope and be able to determine. There were not even witnesses. Nobody could attest as to whose child was whose. There was nothing that could be discerned. But in reality, no big deal either way, really. I'm not being crude. I'm not being disrespectful, but please understand what the story is representing. It's just two harlots fighting over a child. It's just two women, word against the other. And so, interesting, yes. But all that relevant and significant? Not really. One's going to end up with a child probably, and the other's not. And then the king says this, bring me a sword. What? A sword? Why a sword in this situation? What are you going to do with a sword? Are you going to kill whichever one you find out is lying? Why are you bringing a sword in this situation? No doubt whoever was in the courtroom at the time, there was probably an audible gasp. What? A sword? Does this king know what he's doing? Why is he bringing a sword into the mix? Why is he talking about, why is he saying, bring me a sword and divide the child in two? What kind of king is this? An innocent child? Two women are fighting and one is obviously lying? And the one that's going to pay the price is the child? Come on, king. Doesn't make much sense. Why would you do such a thing? Why would you say, bring me a sword and divide the child in two? But oh, so wise was this king, and so had been granted him discernment and judgment that he knew the love of a mother. And he said, bring me a sword and divide the child in two. And I have it in my heart that when the sword was unsheathed in the heart of the mother, it sank. Oh, no, not my baby. Nay, king. No, my Lord. Don't do this thing. Please don't slay the child. The Bible says, then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. Oh, no. The word of a king does not go back. No. Not my boy. No, king. Oh, my Lord, give her the child. Give her the child and in no wise slay it. Please don't kill it. Just give her the child. And the other says, oh no, just go ahead and divide it between me and her. And then the king in his wise, and notice, catch this. I made the statement earlier, but notice throughout the whole story, they're either referred to as just women or harlots. But then the king makes this statement. But then he utters the words, which I believe are so significant. And then when the one mother says, oh, nay, don't slay it. Give her the child. The king looks at that woman and said, oh, give her the child. She is the mother thereof. Only the love of a mother would respond as she's responding. Only the love of a mother would stand forth when the sword is unsheathed and said, oh, no, king, don't kill the child. Give it to her. Let the child live. You see, when the life of her child was in jeopardy, she was willing to give it all up that her child would live. You need to understand, you don't lie in the presence of a king and walk away unpunished. You don't come before his court and make claims that are not true and go unpunished for it. And what this mom was willing to say, even if I have to die today, even if I have to say, no, it's her child, let her have it, and they have to take my head, so be it. Let the child live. Give her the child, King. Let it grow in her arms. If it means it can still grow. Let the child live. You see, the other woman wasn't willing to give of herself. The other woman was willing to let the child die. And in that moment, Solomon knew that can't be the mama. There's no way a mama would allow that to happen. Oh, when we look at our society and the way in which, please understand, I'm not being political, but please understand, the love of a mother is such that even the child within the womb is precious. And Solomon is so wise and discerning when the mother says, no, King, let the child live, give it to her. You see, I'd rather die than see my child die. I'd rather let that other lying woman take credit for everything he ever does in his life rather than me take the credit for his death. Catch the love of a mother. Catch the love of a mother. I'll let him go if it means he can grow. That's the love of a mother. And all Israel, verse number 28, heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. It seemed like an insignificant case of child custody between two harlots, but it ended up revealing the greatness of a king, the wisdom of his judgment, and oh yes, the love of a mother. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. The love of a mother says, I'll make all personal sacrifice necessary to see my children live and thrive. I'll do whatever it takes to make sure my babies grow up and be all that they can be. Even if it costs me everything, I'm willing to give it because the love of my mother says the child should live. No matter what I'm going to have to give up, no matter what sacrifices need to be made, I'm willing to do so. That's what the love of a mother says. And all this story reveals so much. It reveals a wise and discerning heart in that of a king and the unquenching love of a mother. For there are few things as strong in this life as the love of a mother. Jesus stood looking over Jerusalem. His love was expressed in the terms of the love of a mother. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. I don't know if you've seen it in the last few days, but it's popped up on my feed via Facebook. Stopped and watched as in the picture there was some kind of mother bird. She was resting upon a nest, and you can tell it's out in the middle of a field and something approaching, and mother hen, whatever species it was, spreads her wings out over the nest. The next thing you see, a piece of farm equipment comes into the view. A piece of farm equipment goes right over top of the mother bird that's there over top of the nest with the wings spread out. And you're thinking, oh my goodness, does the farmer see it? Does whoever driving the tractor, they know that it's not moving, staying on the nest. And then you see as the disc blades make their approach, and for a moment you think, oh man, this is going to get ugly. But yet the mother stays. Doesn't move. The tractor's just got over, and now the disc are making their approach. But she stays. Never does she abandon the nest. Matter of fact, it comes so close, and then you see the farming equipment stop, and you're just like, oh, maybe they recognize, and they're going to get out and do something. But what actually happens is then the equipment begins to raise, and it raises up to a height where it will go over top of the mother hen, and then it goes on and drops on the other side, and the mother hen never moves. The love of a mother. Mothers, we celebrate you this morning. We thank you for being our mothers. I will call my mom today and tell her happy Mother's Day. I love you. Thank you. But you know what? I won't just call her on Sunday. I try to make a practice every Monday. I pick up the phone and call my mom. Why? She wasn't perfect. She's not perfect. But it's the love of a mother. All mothers, we honor you this morning. In a few moments, we're going to ask you to come forward. Why don't you all, I know I always have you stand, but that's kind of what I do, so why don't you just be seated for just a few moments. If you're here this morning and you are in the mother role, in any way, shape, or form, stepmother, biological mother, foster mother, you are playing that mother role, responsibility and love we talked about here this morning. I want you to go ahead and why don't you stand to your feet? Go ahead. I think it would be good for us to honor, I think, Sister Doris, what year did you start mothering? 53. If you're good at math, you know his age now. I don't think anybody else started mothering before 53, did they? I think it would be good that we honor our eldest mother in our congregation, Sister Doris Atkins. Why don't you applaud our eldest mother here this morning? And now all you moms, we want you to come down front, and we want you to turn around and face the congregation. We have just a small token of appreciation from this church to you. I'm sure pictures are going to be taken. And they got some still making their way.
I think I just counted 20 mothers here this morning. Why don't we applaud our mothers here this morning? We have some nice colorful bags to give you as a token of our appreciation for you being here on Mother's Day. We do this every Mother's Day, just a small token of appreciation saying thank you for being a mom. One more time, why don't we give them a standing ovation? Why don't we stand and applaud them? From all of us at First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, we want to say to all you mothers, Happy Mother's Day. God bless you. You may return to your seats. I have one small thing to do before Sister Connie, and not small in the sense of what it means, but a few weeks ago, I think it was back on April 24th, there is a special day called Administrative Assistant Day. And we as a church, I failed to acknowledge a wonderful lady of this church who does so much behind the scenes, bookkeeping. She is our secretary treasurer. And so we got her a thank you card with a little gift card to say thank you. Sister Rachel Wallace, thank you so much. She's not big on this kind of stuff, but I want to publicly acknowledge and say thank you so much for all that you do. We love you and appreciate you. And now to Sister Connie.
Please be seated. That's my girl, the administrative assistant. We want to honor Sister Wells this morning. I was thinking about, you know, you do realize, Sister Wells, that every woman would come up here, except that most, 99%, can't hardly stand the thought of standing up here at the podium. Otherwise, a lot of them would be up here, so you just see the few of us bold ones every year. I started thinking about, I know one very special thing that I am so appreciative of her that I'll get to. She knows I love her music. That never changes. But I was thinking about kind of the song that the kids were singing this morning, and how, you know, we never feel like we are quite, are we doing enough? You know, we're not perfect, as Brother Wells loves his mother so much, but she's not perfect. And you know, as we get older, our kids are older, it's like, oh my goodness, I should have done that differently, you know, or, you know, I was 17 when I got into church, when I received the Holy Ghost, when I came into the truth. And I lost my mom to cancer when I was 25. And she never understood the truth. She was raised a different way, and so that was always something just, you know, odd between us. It was difficult. But I do want to give honor to Sister Doris this morning, who is the one who taught me the truth, told me all about the Holy Ghost. So when I came to church, I was not shocked when she stood next to me and spoke in tongues and anybody else did. She had clearly taught me so much before I even came into the building, into a service. And I appreciate you, Sister Doris. And so she taught me so much in those years And I don't want to take away from my own mother. She was a loving, wonderful mom. And as I grew in the church then, other ladies, you know, you just kind of take over those roles. And I was so young when I got into the church that I felt like everybody was so much older. But they're not that so much older. Sister Davis, you're not that much older than me. But she was, Sister Davis played such a big part in teaching me God's ways, God's love. So many others that, like I said, not necessarily even older than me, but older than me who had grown up knowing God's love like they did in the truth. And that is the church family. That's what we do. If you've been through an experience and then you see someone in it, a lot of times it's someone younger, and you help them through that because you know you're standing here and you know you got through it with God's help, always with God's help, never on our own. And that's what we do. We are a family. We share things. We cry together at ladies' prayer. We've done plenty of crying together. And then we rejoice together because God is a prayer answering God. He is a prayer answering God. And I am so, so thankful for the sisters that I have in our church family. We have a huge church family out there, but right now I'm talking to everybody under this roof. I am so, so thankful for all of my sisters that I care about your family, and I know you care about mine. And I will have to say, Sister Wells, she shared a very tough time with me this last year. And with as a mother, I went through a tough time this year. And I guess it's been over a year. And I was able to share that with her. And I know because she cried with me. And I know that she cared about that and she felt it. She felt the pain that I was feeling. And then I was able to text her. She was one of the first ones that I texted when things, God came through and just miraculously took care of the situation, which I'm not going to go into, but I am so thankful to God for restoring and healing relationships. And I just had to text her because I knew as much as she cared about the hurt that I was feeling, that she was going to be so happy when she found out that things were all good and that God had answered my prayer. And not just my prayer, because I know that my sisters, I know that you cried and prayed with me and kept that on your heart. And I am so, so thankful. And I hope, Sister Wells, that we can be the family that you need us to be. The sisters, the mothers, we can't take place of your wonderful mother, whom we all love too. And we know that she can't be here day in and day out for everyday situations, but I hope and pray that we can be those relationships that you need in your life and raising your children, being our pastor's wife, that I know that I received, from some of the ladies that are here, some that aren't here anymore. And so we just want you to know how much we love and appreciate you. Let's stand and... Thank you so much. Love you too.
Thank you all very, very much. You're so kind to my family, to myself. I have to share, I'm not trying to embarrass Shannon back there, but my kids... I think they might know it's supposed to be a relaxing day or something. And they were all three just going nuts the whole last service. And she just puts her hands on my shoulders, and I'm like, deep breath, deep breath. And I know all of you mothers, we have all been through every season. You know, those there are some days that are so dark, but you, and I'm sure all of you can agree with me that it's so worth it. So, and thank you. The biggest way you touch me is through my children, and you guys love my children, and you show me you love my children, and I'm so thankful for that. Thank you all very, very much, and have a wonderful and happy Mother's Day.
Final shot. If your mom is still on this earth, make sure you reach out today and tell her that you love her. And wish her a happy Mother's Day. God bless you for being in service this morning. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Happy Mother's Day, mothers.